Divine Mother, O the most effulgent being of the universe, please fill my heart with pure love. Let everything else empty from my heart. Let every bit of pure love occupy every inch of my heart. Let this pure love overflowing from my heart then rise to my eyes and inspire me to see only things that are good and noble. Let this pure love from my heart express as sweet and loving words through my mouth. Let this pure love from my heart fill my limbs, my hands and legs, and let them be engaged only in those tasks which are dharmic. Let this pure love from my heart fill every pore of my being. Let it propel every cell in every molecule of my body to be constantly engaged only in the welfare of all the time. Samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. Sadguru Brahma Sanatana He. Sadguru Brahma सनातन हे परम दयाघन पावन हे परम दयाघन पावन हे जन्म जदुख विनाशन हे जन्म जदुख विनाशन हे जगतो धारण कारण हे जगतो धारण कारण हे साए कृष्ण जनार्दन हे सत्य साए कृष्ण
Janardana he, Janardana he, Janardana he, Satya Sai, Krishna Janardana he, Bhava Bhaya Jaladi, Tarana he, Bhava Bhaya Jaladi, Tarana he, Satguru Brahma Sanatana he, Satguru.
Many years ago, there was this student who had this opportunity to serve Bhagwan at very close quarters. He had the chance to push Bhagwan's chair during darshans. This was in the year 2007. And it was the final year of this student. He was very grateful to Bhagwan for having given him that opportunity. He cherished that relationship that he had with Swami. And there were moments when he used to be with Bhagwan in the interview room. And those would be moments of silence, moments of sometimes little conversations. And there was always this anxiety in him. What would happen to me after I leave Bhagwan's university? What would happen to this relationship that I have with Swami? How should I strengthen this relationship? How should my bond with Swami be? Because as he was contemplating on this, he realized that over the years he had related to Bhagwan in so many ways. There are times when Bhagwan cared for him like an exceptionally doting mother. There have been times that Bhagwan was very stern. He corrected him like a disciplinarian father. There have been times when he has confided with Bhagwan things that he would not tell anyone, just like a close friend. He could tell only Bhagwan, and he has told only Bhagwan. And there are also times when he just obeyed. He was just the guru. And every relationship had its own pluses and minuses. Every relationship had its own moments of sweetness and moments of unpleasantness, moments of great comfort, moments of not being so sure about the relationship. So he was thinking, as I move on in life, what is the relationship that I should foster? So he picked up courage and he asked Bhagwan, Swami, over the years you have treated me like a child, like a son, sometimes like a disciple. Tell me, what is the relationship that I should strengthen in my life? Bhagwan looked at him with much love and said, if you want my relationship with you to be permanent, then consider me as the guru, as the Sadguru. And think of yourself as a disciple, as a steadfast disciple. Then this bond will last not just this lifetime, but for lifetimes together. In 2008, Gaurav Verma, a student in Bhagwan's university, he is still studying. He is in his second year M.Tech. He had just joined. He hailed from Maharashtra, a place called Tarapur, which is known for its atomic power plant. He had some introduction to Bhagwan before coming here. He was a Balvika student. So he had heard all that the Balvika's guru had to say about Swami. So he had some amount of respect, some amount of awe for Swami. But there were also a lot of doubts, because that was a place where a lot of scientists used to visit. And to his school, Many distinguished scientists had come and given lectures, and they used to denounce everything that was unscientific. And they used to also talk about all these so-called godmen also in very poor light. And so he was very confused. But things happened, his parents wanted him to join, and because the Balvika's guru also suggested that he should join, he applied, and as circumstances turned out, he got selected and he was in the higher secondary school for his 11th class. In a few days, Bhagwan returned to Prashant Nilayam from Vrindavan. As I told you, it was 2008, so Bhagwan was coming for darshan in the wheelchair. And he had all these thoughts in his mind, you know, does he really know anything? And as Bhagwan came, he was keenly observing Swami. And he saw that Swami was taking letters. Different people stretched their hands and he seemed to just pick up letters and take. And everyone who had a letter, he was just taking. So once he started taking letters, he would just keep taking letters. It didn't seem anything unusual to him. He thought, this person definitely has no clue about all the people who are sitting here, about all the students, because he is just behaving the same with everyone. Everyone is holding a letter, he is just taking, some person go and people go and touch his feet, and it is just a very common casual affair. It looks like all these people are just fooled by his aura, you know, there is some thing about him, somehow people have just got carried away. And just the drama goes on. It seemed very ordinary to him. He thought, definitely this person does not know the background of all these people. If you are really such a holy man and all that, then you would not be, you know, just taking letters from everyone. You'd be choosy, you would pick and choose and all that. And Gaurav was in his school days and in his days at home, he was a movie addict. He used to see a lot of movies. Even though he used to go for Balvikas, but he had his old friends and he had so many habits which were not advisable. And he thought, this person definitely has no clue about all these people. So I will also just sit there, and if he also comes and if he also takes my letter, it only will prove that he does not know anything. If he really knew my past, then he would want to judge me. He will want to not take my letter, or he want to do something different. If he is taking everyone's and in the same manner he takes my letter also, it only means that he has no clue about anything. So he was sitting there, and Bhagwan's chair came along, and Bhagwan was just a few meters away. And Swami was picking up letters and giving namaskaram to the students, and he was just ready to also do the same, because he had reconciled that this is what will happen, and once this happens, I know that this person is nothing special. And so he was about to just touch Bhagwan's feet, suddenly the wheelchair turned. He was shocked. And Swami had turned. It was such an instant reaction that it left him really dumbfounded. Swami spent few minutes on the other side, and then he turned back this side, and he was really taken aback. He was just thinking that he will come, I will touch, then I will know that this guy does not know anything. And that set him thinking, oh my God, does he really know? Did he really have an inkling of what is happening in my mind? Everyone he was giving, and just when it was about my turn, he just turned. Everything seemed so commonplace to the onlooker. Everything seemed so haphazard to the onlooker. It's just like grandmom is sitting on her easy chair and she's knitting a sweater. And the little one comes and settles down at the feet of the grandmother, and she looks up. And when she looks up, she sees all these threads hanging, because the granny is busy knitting the thread, and she looks up and the little one says, oh my God, what a confusion it is. It is a motley of colors and doesn't make any sense at all. Utter confusion. What is my grandmother doing in this confusion? Only when you stand up and go up to the eye level where the grandmother is, then you will see, oh my God, it's a beautiful design coming up there. A guru sees our past, analyzes our present, and guides us about our future. But a Sadguru cancels our past, creates our present, and recreates our future. A Sadguru cancels our past, creates our present, and recreates our future. Just like Gaurav, there was another student who joined Bhagwan's university in the year 2012 after the departure of his physical form. He hailed from Kathmandu, Nepal. So Devjeet, Audi, that was his classy name. And just like his name suggests, he was completely westernized. He heard only western songs and completely into a very vagabond style of life. He hated to come home, hated to be near his mother, hated the presence of his mother, only loved the company of his friends, into smoking, into drinking, busy on the internet, Facebook, Twitter all the time. He completed his 12th class and his mother was extremely worried about this son. And she could not really suggest anything to him because the mother and son would never talk. He hated the mother because mother was someone who always questioned. One of these days, one of his mother's colleagues told her that, "I know you are very concerned about your son, Devjeet. I know of an institution which will not only look after the academics of your son, but they will also shape his character." And his mother was really, eyes and ears perked up, and really, is there really an institution which will really cater to the character of my son? Is there really an institution which does not bother only about his marks, but also will think about his growth, his overall development? Well, yeah, there is one institution. And this colleague of his mother said that my son also actually studied there. In fact, he graduated as a gold medalist in his graduation and his post-graduation. So if you wish, you can have your son join this college. And to Devji's mother, this was such a great news because she had thought she has absolutely no control on her son, and the guy has decided that he will go to Calcutta now. He wanted to go to a metro because he wanted to have that high life. He had already decided on his college. There is no way that she could influence his decision. But the mother secretly applied to Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and told her son, "Devjeet, can we go to Bangalore?" And Devji said, "Okay, we'll go to Bangalore. Bangalore is a happening place. It is a hippie place and it is the party place. So, no problem." And he loved to travel. So he said, "Okay, we'll go to Bangalore." So Devji and his mother travel. They reach Bangalore. From Bangalore, the mother calls for a taxi and they drive to Puttaparthi. Everything is new to Devji. And he thought his mother is probably taking him to an extension of Bangalore. And then he sees that it is only dry lands. He sees it is only arid red sand, and we are into some desert. We are into some very lowly populated area. We are into some villages. Where are we coming? And even as he was wondering where the taxi was taking them, he saw this huge edifice, this super speciality hospital, and it, from out of nowhere in the wilderness, what is this huge building? I mean, this building looks so strange. Till now I was seeing only huts and mud houses, and what is this building? Looks something very, very different. And then they come to Puttaparthi and he sees all these buildings, everything looks so strange to him. And his mother says then that, you know, there is a university here, and he does not immediately revolt, because there was something about this place. He saw that everyone was telling Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, and everyone was loving. He found that there was a lot of courtesy. No one was really speaking as if they were aliens or they were strangers. They were from Nepal and they were in India, but it seemed homely. And his hall ticket to write the entrance examination had not reached Kathmandu. So the next day they went to the administrative block to pick up the hall ticket. When they went there, they saw one of the teachers there or one of the staff members there come and ask with a lot of sincerity about their problem. And the mother explained. So this person went back and returned with some more clarifications, and again the mother explained. Again the person went back. He returned once more, and there was some more conversation with his mother, and he saw that this person is so patient. This person speaks with that same amount of calmness. He said, even in Kathmandu, if you ask the same question twice to a person, that person gets agitated. No one has that much patience to respond to you if you ask the same question one more time. And his mother, he knew, was very talkative, and here is his mother going on saying 100 things, and this person is so calm. This person listens with so much patience. He goes and comes again, clarifies. And he thought, what is this? This place, something strange. Even in Kathmandu, no one will speak to us with so much of composure. There's something about this place. And everyone, for everything, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. And it seemed genuine. It was not like a put on. So they came back to their room, and he was to write his entrance examination. So he went and he wrote the entrance examination. Obviously he had no clue about the entrance. He had not prepared. So it was just in minor mo, in peen, septi peen. So whatever came to him, he just ticked and crossed. It was only objective answers. So he just finished the examination in no time. And he came back to his room. After he came back to his room, and he looked at his mother, and he said, the first time in his life, he felt that there is some pain in his mother's heart. Even during the entire journey, during the travel, mother and son, they had not even looked at each other eye to eye. He only looked down. He hated the mother. And mother never spoke anything. She would speak absolutely the minimum. They came back to the room, and he says, I don't know what happened to me. For the first time in my life, I just had this feeling that maybe there is so much of pain in my mother's heart. There is so much of unspoken trauma in her. And one thing that occurred to him, again a very strange thought, when he had gone to the ad block, and when he saw the way the people were interacting, just this thought arose that if by any weird chance I get to study here, one good thing will happen. You know, no one knows about my past here. If I decide to start a new life, I can just do, because no one is going to judge me, no one is going to question me, no one is going to see through the lens of what I have been all these years. I can just suddenly become something else, and I will be accepted that way. Because he felt the place was so welcoming in some sense. People were not judging him here. And then he came to his room, and he saw that mother is always quiet. There is so much of deep rooted pain in her. It is so much that her words cannot even express that trauma she is undergoing.
For the first time in his life, he thought, maybe I should, at least that realization came, that because of me, there is some pain in my mother's heart. Until then, he used to abhor the sight of the mother, he used to not like anything that she did. He felt, she is here only to question me and ruin my joys and ruin my life. The first time, something that started beating inside, what we call heart started functioning like a heart. Until now, the heart was only a pumping machine. The heart now felt like a heart because he could feel the pain of his mother. But then he thought, all this is nice, but you know, this is too late. I've already screwed up. I mean, the examination is all gone. I just bungled up the entrance test. I didn't prepare. So there is no way that I can actually clear the entrance examination. I should have thought about this before. Now, it is beyond repair. And that evening, they went to the university just to casually see the results of the entrance examination. And to his dismay and surprise, he had cleared the entrance. He could not believe it. He had cleared the written test without answering even one question using his mind and intellect. He thought, oh my God, did this really happen? Then he said, okay, whatever it is, if something has brought me till here, now I should put my effort. He said, okay, fine. I will now be serious. I will give the interview my all. I am going to be serious about the interview. I will not allow the interview to just slip away. I am going to prepare and I will ensure that I come out flying colors out of the interview. So the next day he goes for the interview and the panel of judges, the teachers there, over the course of the conversation they ask him, do you know anything about Swami? And he says, well, I don't know much. I know that he died and you know there were all these controversies about him, I read about them. But otherwise, no, what else do you know about Baba? He said, I don't know, they say he's a miracle man, that's all. No, what else have you heard about him? Well, he's a man, he does miracles, I mean, what else? I don't know, don't ask me, I don't know. Okay, anything else have you heard about Baba? He didn't know what to say, so he just looked up and there was Swami's photograph. So he said, well, looks like he has a very funky hairstyle, that's all I can say, I mean, it's all. So they were able to conclude the interview and then suddenly one of the teachers just flapped his file of certificates. His eyes fell on one particular certificate that he had won for debate. Devjit, by the way, was very good in English. He was completely westernized. He used to love only Western songs, but he was very good in English. Sentences came out very coherently, and his accent was very good. So he said, looks like you have won a competition for debate. He said, yeah, I debate in my school. So what was the topic, last topic you debated on? So he said, should students enter politics or not? So this professor, incidentally, was a professor in political science. So he said, okay, that is interesting. So can you speak for 2 minutes for and against should students enter politics? He said, okay. So he said, now, this is my time, I'm going to do it. So he cracked it, because he was very thorough in all these things. He's good in talking. And he finished his 5 minutes of oratory and all the teachers were in applause. And then one of them said, we hope as you spend your time in our university, you will learn more about Baba. He said, oh wow, so it has happened. He thought it was slipping away. And it really happened. So he joins the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning for his first year BA. On the first day of joining the hostel, he enters the room and his room leader says, "Excuse me, brother, if you don't mind, can you just keep your shoes outside?" I said, "What? You want me to keep my shoes outside? I mean, what sort of place is... I have never lived without wearing my shoes and chappals. Come on. I can't be on bare feet. What nonsense." I said, "No, please, brother. You have to keep your slippers outside. Inside the room, we don't wear slippers." I said, "Okay." He comes inside. And brother says, "Did you get everything? Did you get your bed?" He says, "What do you mean? If you get my bed, you expect me to get that whole steel metal frame all the way from Kathmandu?" I said, no, I'm not talking about the metal frame. Did you not get your mattress?" He said, "Yeah, I got my mattress, but where is the bed?" No, see, we don't actually have beds here. We sleep on the floor." "You sleep on the floor? You don't wear slippers? Then what sort of place is this?" And he started feeling, "Oh my God, where did I land up?" And he gets really paranoid and he says, "Okay, is there internet? There's the next thing." In earlier times, when you used to go to people's houses, the way to extend courtesy is, you know, you offer a glass of water and you ask, "How are you?" and all. These days, they say the way to extend courtesy to someone is, as soon as they come, you should ask them, "Do you want my Wi-Fi password? Do you want to check your emails first?" So that is the way you extend courtesy in these days. Because we are more interested in how our face looks on Facebook than our own face. So, the next question he asked is there internet access? And the brother said, "See brother, you have just joined. So the first years and second years do not have internet access. So, obviously you will have to wait till you become a senior." He said, "That's it. I mean, you know, we have to starve. There's no internet. Even monks will have internet. What is this?" And then he was like, "Am I going to stay in this place?" But the only motivation for him was, "Okay, let me just hang on, because at least for a few days I'll be away from my mother. Nobody knows anything about me. And at least my mother is not going to bug me." So with that, he said, "Okay, let me just hang on. We'll see what happens." So he stays. On the first day, so the room leader calls and, you know, he has a meeting with all the students. Generally, the room leader will want to brief them about the hostel and about its rules, the discipline and the routine. He didn't join that group. So then it was requested, you know, "Please come." He said, "No, I'm not interested in all these things. I don't believe in this Baba and all these things that you're doing here. I am not interested in any damn thing here. I have just come for studies. Don't bug me with all these things. I'm already absolutely crestfallen and I'm devastated with what it is now. Please don't call me for all these things. I'm not interested." So the room leader did not know what to do. There were times when Bhagwan was there, you could tell Swami. So they let him be. And as days went on, the room leader used to spend a lot of time. He used to question everything in the hostel. Why there should be two bells? Why we should go to Suprabhatam? Why we should get up so early? You should never get up so early in the morning. What is this? Nobody dared wake me up in the morning. I got up when I wanted to get up. Here people wake me up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Make me go for jogging. Make me go for Suprabhatam. What is all this? Every day there was this rage and battle going on. And so the room leader used to try and explain to him. So he used to go, and after the college hours, all the questions that Devjit had, the room leader would spend time and explain. "These are the rules and this is the reason why we have these rules. And if you follow these rules, this is how it will benefit you and how it has helped so many generations of students, how it has helped me personally." So it was a long conversation about every little thing that they have to follow in the hostel. Why prayers? Why two bells? Why we have to go in lines? Why we have to sit in lines? Why we have to eat together? Why we have to serve? Why we have to go and do 100 other things? Why we have to sweep the floor? Everything was a question. And everything, the room leader used to take time out. Sometimes the discussions used to go on till 12, 2 in the morning. But the room leader would just explain and explain and explain with a lot of patience. And given the interest, deep concern with which the room leader used to explain, Devjit used to get a bit pacified. He used to soften a little because of the way the room leader was taking so much interest trying to explain to him. It was not like, hello, if you're not interested, get out of this place. This is the rule. You don't want to follow the rule? Nobody has asked you to come here. You can leave. It was not like that. You're trying to tell him, this is how it is. This is how it will help you. And sometimes, even after the room leader explained and he was not convinced, he would go to the wing teachers. And the wing teacher would also spare time and explain further. So this first 2-3 months was only conversations with the room leader and the wing teacher and trying to fathom what is happening, why it is like this. And somehow it came to the notice of the wing teacher that, you know, generally all the students would call their parents in the initial months and weeks, but this guy would never call. If at all he called, he would call only his friends. Never call home, never call his mother. Somehow it came to the notice of the warden, and so the warden called him one day and said, why are you not calling your home? You never called your home. He just wanted to brush that question aside. He said, it's very expensive, I don't want to talk. It's too much money, I don't want to call my mom. So the warden said, it's okay, you can email. So the warden called the wing teacher and said, please give access to your own laptop to this guy. Let him at least email his mother. So now he had no choice. Actually, it was an extraordinary thing because they don't allow access to internet to the first year and second year students. But he saw how the warden went out of his way and the wing teacher also opened up his laptop for him, gave him complete internet access. And generally, if you're giving someone access, you know, you want to be on guard, you want to see what he's doing, and given his history, and you know, you want to see that he's not doing anything otherwise. But the wing teacher, you should just give him the laptop and let him be. He would not be over his shoulder to see what he's doing. And so something touched him. He said, these people, this teacher gives me the laptop with so much trust, I cannot break that trust. So he used to always take the laptop and just only email mother and not do anything hanky-panky. Somehow he felt that I cannot break this trust. Time went on, and the most torturous experience for him was coming to the mandir. The mandir was torture. Why mandir was a torture? No, because I'm not used to these bhajans, and I was only listening to English songs, and I can't understand what these people are singing. I can't, what is this raga, tala, I cannot put the beat, I cannot follow, and this Vedam is completely abracadabra to me. It's all nonsense. I mean, he just felt very out of place. It was like too much of confusion. He was like in a sea of noise. He used to hate coming to the mandir. So one day, he used to just, you know, where you keep our bed, there is a big cupboard, sort of a big hole in the wall where you keep your bed. So he used to curl himself up inside that hole and cover and sit there and read books. Never come to mandir. So one day one of the teachers saw and said, Devjit, what are you doing? He said, I don't want to go to mandir. Why do you not want to go to mandir? He said, I cannot. It's torture for me. I don't understand anything. I can't even pronounce those words. Please leave me, I don't want to go to mandir. Teacher says, Devjit, see, you have decided to come to this place. You are going to stay here at least for 2 more years. If you don't understand something, should you not try to understand? Try to understand, give it a try. The love and concern with which the teacher said, touched him. He said, okay, I'll give it a try. So the Wing teacher gave him a Bhajanavali book and also a Vedam book. So see, as the bhajans are going on, you can just see through, you know, you will learn some of these words. Meaning also is given. Try and see if you can relate. I said, okay. It was not like you are not following any of the discipline in the hostel. You are a completely indisciplined boy. We don't want you in the hostel. No one had ever told him for just 3 months. Everyone was telling him, try to understand. There is a reason why the hostel is what it is. Because during this time, 2-3 months had passed, and the way everyone was only trying to go out of their way to make him comfortable, made him think that perhaps this Baba is something, you know. Perhaps, if all these people are here for Baba, if so many people, all these experiences that he heard, all the stories that everyone had told him, if all these people are coming to him, then all of them are not fools. Am I the only intelligent person in the earth? Maybe there is something. So he said, okay, let me know it for myself. Let me do my own examination, my own test, and then once and for all I'll decide who this guy is. And if I have to continue in this place, if I have to follow all these rules and everything. So he said, let me think of something absolutely weird, absolutely impossible, unthinkable. So he said, okay, Baba, if you are that person, okay, I don't know who God is, I don't know about divinity and all that, but even if you are some power, little above the humans, then make me the topper. This semester I should be the topper. Mind you, he was always in the bottom, among the bottom two students in his class, in Kathmandu. Because he was hated studies. So he said, make me the topper, and then I will see. Not that I will believe you, I will see. But, from whatever he had heard from the teachers, they said that Baba always looks for sincerity. Baba always looks for your intent. So he said, okay, I know they say that nothing comes free, you have to put your effort. If you want to get the benefits out of this system, you have to put your effort. If you are saying that, you know, this is what you want, then you have to follow the discipline, then only you will get the result. So everything they are saying that you have to do something, you have to be sincere, then automatically you will see the results. So, okay, I am also putting my effort. So, from today, I will follow all the hostel discipline. I will follow all the hostel rules. No more questions. But you make me the topper. We'll see. So from that day, this is one of the reasons why also he started opening the bhajan books with a little more interest and coming to the bhajans, and everyone actually got a little bit surprised. What happened to him? Suddenly he was hiding all the time in the hostel. Now he's taking bhajan books, Vedam books, and going to mandir and trying to sing and clap and all that. So he thought that let me be sincere. That is what was told. So he finished the first semester and he went back to Nepal. The vacation was over. He landed in Puttaparthi. And that night, his wing teacher calls him and says, Devjeet, congratulations. I said, what? Congratulations for what? You're kidding. For what? Congratulations, you've topped the class. Really? Stop joking. Come on. He said, no, Devjeet, I just came back from the university. I saw your name on the top. You have topped the class. I said, really? Can't be. No, you go yourself and see it. And he goes and sees, he cannot believe. He's crying. Really? Oh my God. Now he wanted to show off. So he thought, he should call his mother. So he calls up his mother. And he says, Mom, you know what? I have topped the class. Mom says, what? Come again? Really? Mom, I have topped the class. And there is silence. And what happened? mom is not even speaking. And there are only sobs on the phone. Then the mother says, I am very proud of you. I am very proud of you. And she keeps the phone down. A guru, I told you, sees your past, examines your present, and guides you towards your future. But what does a Sadguru do? A Sadguru cancels your past, creates your present, and recreates your future. And this happens irrespective of the physical form of the Sadguru. Devjit joined the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning in 2012. It was not the case of Gaurav when Bhagwan was going for darshan and Bhagwan's direction changed and he felt, oh my God, he's God. Nothing like that happened to Devjit. It was not an occasion when a student was thinking whether Swami knows anything or not and Swami comes and he gives a letter and Swami just reads out the contents of the letter in front of him and immediately you believe. It was not as if you were having this malady and Swami comes and he gives vibhuti and you're cured of your illness and then you instantly believe. Yes, all that happened prior to 2011, but all this also happens post-2011. He is the chancellor, the only chancellor of Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning. And more than the chancellor, he is the Sadguru. And he is and will be to always clean our past, create our present and recreate our future. And that is happening every single moment in Bhagwan's hallowed institutions, in every young heart that steps into the portals of this hallowed university. Sa vidya ya vimuktai. Only that vidya is vidya which will liberate us from the bondage of the world that we see around.
Janma jadukha vinashanahe. Jagato dharana karanahe.
The Sadguru comes not to emancipate a few individuals or to look after a few spiritually inclined persons or to help here and there a few people and also help himself. The Sadguru comes for Jagato dharana. He is not only for the class, he is for the class, he is for the mass, he is for every section of the creation, which includes ants to elephants to the pinnacle of the cosmic consciousness. But Devji's tests did not end there. There were many more tests that the inquisitive and now more interested youngster put Bhagwan to. And Bhagwan, in his infinite compassion, filled his heart with his love. Every test was something which was unthinkable. And every test recreated Devjit in such a way that today he is in second MA, final year of his master's in arts, and he is the one who coaches every student who comes into the portals of Bhagwan's university. He is the one who goes and tells them about Swami. He is the one who tells them about hostel rules. He is the one who guides students. He is the one who participates in every extracurricular activity. He is the one who is the cultural champion of the university. He is the one who spoke during summer course, the last day of the summer course in Sai Kulwant Hall. The clock prevents me from going on with this story, but I will end with a very beautiful message that came to me just 2 days ago. They say, if you want to purify your body, you have to do yoga and drink lots of water. If you want to purify your breath, you have to do pranayama. If you want to purify your mind, you have to do meditation. If you want to purify your intellect, you have to have discrimination. If you want to purify your memory, you have to remember the Lord. Mananam, chintanam. If you want to purify your ego, you have to learn to serve. If you have to purify yourself, you have to practice silence. If you have to purify your food, you have to have positive thoughts. If you have to purify your wealth, you have to learn to give selflessly. And if you have to purify your heart and feelings, you have to learn to love. And if you have to purify your love, you have to learn to sacrifice and surrender. Only when we have surrendered in its purest sense, that is when we would see our journey would find its end. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Vandanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atma Nivedanam. You have to start with thinking of Him, then befriending Him in the penultimate stage and finally completely surrendering to Him. When I was speaking to Devjeet just 2 days ago, he was speaking to me like a monk would speak to me. He was saying, everything that is happening in this, every moment of his life, he is absolutely sure that he is absolutely not in control. He is absolutely sure that he is in the control of the higher self. Diminish the lower self. Once you have more self-control and diminish yourself, you are completely taken over by the higher self. And he's in that stage. How fantastic it is when someone completes his post-graduation in avidya, also completes his graduation in vidya. And Bhagwan wants such gems to go out in the society, because he's come for Jagatodharana. Only then, Jagatodharana Karanahe Sai Krishna Janardanahe Bhava Bhaya Jaladhi Taranahe. Only then we will learn to cross this ocean of Bhava Bhaya Jaladhi. Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam Dustara Bhava Sagara Taranam. Guru Maharaj Guru Jai Jai Sai Nath Sat Guru Jai Jai. Let us offer ourselves to this eternal Guru, Sadguru, so that He may obliterate our past, so that He may create our present and recreate our future in a manner that we become His reflection. Samastaloka sukhino bhavantu. Samastaloka sukhino bhavantu. Samastaloka sukhino bhavantu. Om shanti shanti shanti. Mm-hmm.